You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
If you get in your Bible, Psalms 15, we're in a series called Dwell. We dealt with this last week. We were speaking about dwelling in God's presence. And so in the psalm, it speaks about these two things, dwelling and abiding in God's presence. And so let me just rehash some of the things that we spoke about. We spoke about being in God's presence is the pinnacle of human experience. This is because this is the environment you was made for. And so man outside of God's presence, he's always seeking to be back into God's presence. And even if he doesn't know it, he's always seeking for this fulfillment. And this is why people are seeking in drugs and alcohol and sex or any other thing. Sometimes they don't have to be just bad things, but we're seeking for this rush, this fulfillment, this joy, because we know outside of God's presence, something is missing. This is what it is. If you intoxicate yourself or if you give yourself to something, you know that when you're not in that, you know that the normal life that you're living, something is missing. This is why many times when you tell someone you're a Christian, you're living for God, and they're like, so you don't rave, you don't smoke, you don't sleep around. What do? Because they're in the outside of God's presence. Those things are the little escapisms that they find for not being God's presence. But how many know you get high, but you've got to come back down low? And so, you know, this is what we're talking about. His presence is the highest human experience. And we dealt with that. That's online. You can listen to that sermon. And we read the scripture where it says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. That's in his presence. There are pleasures evermore. And so think about this now. We know that in his presence, that we have the presence of God as we gather together, or when we're in a right relationship with God, we have his presence. And we can experience that to a dimension here and now. We need it here and now. This is why we need to come to church, be in his presence. But also, we know ultimately we want to be in his presence in eternity. That's what we're living for, that one day we will take off this shabby flesh and we will put on immortality and we will be with God forever in his presence. That's when it's truly going to be fullness of joy. That's what we should be living for. But I want to also point this, is that in God's presence, meaning obviously where he is, it's talking about a deeper access to God. Say access. That means that you're able to access him. You're able to come close to him. And why this is so important, because this speaks to our prayer life. That when you're in God's presence and then you have access to God, you can pray with the assurance that God has heard your prayer. Rather than you spend time praying and then you get up and you feel like you've just spoken into the air, like you've just said nothing to nothing. But what you want is that confirmation in your spirit and in your soul. God heard me. God has heard me. And even though I don't see what I've prayed for right now, I know that in the unseen area, there are wheels turning. There are things happening. There are things going on. This is what you desperately need for ministry. Those of you in ministry, those that are leaders, but you pray for fruitfulness and you pray for God to increase your ministry and you pray for these things and you get up knowing that God has heard. And now all you're doing is waiting to see the manifestation of what you've already prayed for. Or this speaks of reading your word. You know, some people, they come to me, Pastor, I find it so difficult to read the word. And you know, sometimes I just say, yeah, let's try harder. And you know what? I start to feel it's not about trying harder. We need the presence of God. You need to be able to read the word of God. And then when you read it, you see Jesus. He becomes alive. He becomes 3D. When you read the Word of God, God, you see God in high definition. I don't have a TV. I haven't had a TV for 20 years. But when I would go shopping with my wife, you know, my wife used to work in John Lewis. And so we would go through John Lewis and we would go and they would have a place where they'd have the TVs. And so obviously they're trying to sell these TVs, big TVs, flat TVs, curved TVs. And I remember catching my eye. I'm like, my days, that TV's bright. And it had somebody playing golf, and obviously they've strategically played this loop of a video of someone with golf because there's vivid greens and vivid blues of the sky, and it looks so bright. It almost looked brighter than real life. They've done something to it, man. Even normal grass, it looked more green than normal grass. That's called high definition. Say high definition. Let me tell you, this is how you need to see God. In high definition, that God almost looks more realer than the life that you're living now. And with people that see God like that, when they go through their problems, they're like, yeah, I see my problems, but God is brighter. I can see what's not happening right now, but God is realer than what I see right now. You will see that when you read the Word of God, experiencing it in His presence. This is why this is so important for us to dwell and be in the presence of God. In the prayer meeting, I spoke about one of the prayer requests we prayed is that God would set us on fire. And I was saying in the prayer meeting is that, you know, I'll be honest with you. What do you mean by God setting you on fire, Pastor? I'll be honest with you, you know, and I could talk for England, man. But I can't really describe it, but I know it when I see it. I know when I've got it and I know when I don't. I know when you got it, and I know when you don't. And I want to tell you today, being in God's presence, this is what we are. This is what we are made for. You know when God is on you, when God is moving through your life, when your prayer life and your word, and this is our goal. The Bible says, Lord, who may dwell in the tabernacle? Who may abide in the tabernacle? Who may dwell in the holy hill? Meaning Jerusalem. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. We dealt with that last week. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. That's what we're going to deal with. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. I pray, Father, you would move supernaturally. Father, in this service, Lord, stir us up, save in this place, redeem in this place. Father, we did not come into this place to play religious games. But Father, we've come to hear your word, expound your word. Let your spirit be here. Let your presence be here. Father, we do not want to preach about your presence and not even have your presence. We desperately need your presence in this place. Father, I pray for your anointing right now, for it is your anointing that breaks the yoke. And all God's people said, amen. I want to focus in on verse 3. We looked at verse 2, but we want to move on. Verse 3 says, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against the friend. And so remember, it's speaking about the qualifications of entering into his presence. Now, I've just rattled on for about 5 minutes to do with his presence. I've just taken up a lot of time out of my sermon to just keep going on, to whet your appetite. Yeah, I want that. Now, I need to focus in on who gets access to his presence. And what the Bible shows us here in verse 3 is that God is looking at your relationships. God is looking at your relationships. How we relate to others determines how God relates to us. How I relate to you and how you relate to me determines whether you or I will enter into his presence. There is a specific type of behavior, a specific type of person. The first thing I want to draw out of it, he says, he does no evil to his neighbor. And really, this is Bible basics. This is simple.
We know that in Mark 12, verse 21, the Bible says the second he speaks about the great commandments, and he lumps, Jesus lumps them all together into two things, the love of the Lord our God. And he says, with everything, we understand that. And then he says, and the second is like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, even unsaved people know about that. How many know, even unsaved people, even before you got saved, you knew about loving your neighbor. How many know that? You, most of us, we knew about loving our neighbor. And so this is basics. And what he's talking about here is, he says here, do no evil to those, to his neighbor. Do no evil to those that are around you. Do not be spiteful to people around you. God is looking at how you relate to those around you. God is looking at your relationships that are close to you. Let's start the closest, those at home. God is looking at what you're doing at home. And this determines whether you're going to enter into his presence or not. You want to just roll up, bowl up into the presence of God. Yeah, I'm coming into the presence of God. No. It's almost like if you haven't dealt with certain things at home right, or you've been spiteful, or things are going on at home that's not right, you could have gone through this whole worship session of this service and it was dry to you. You could have lifted your hands, you could have sung the songs, but it was dry to you because you ain't in his presence. You could be trying to read your Bible, and even you come early to prayer, and maybe you get up in prayer and you put a little thumbs up in the morning. But if you're not dealing, if you're not in right relationship with those closest to you in your home, husbands, wives, how's your relationship? One of the biggest things you're going to have to understand, those that are married, is that God is super laser-eyed focused on that relationship. He is so focused on that relationship. That relationship is going to determine how high you go with God. He is so into that. And don't miss it. So many people want to miss that. So many people want to overlook that. So many people want to bypass that and think, I'm just going to roll up into the house of God, lift my voice, lift my hands, and God's like, you're not coming nowhere near me. Because I saw what you've been doing at home. And so we got a lot of weddings this year. Some have already gone. Some are coming up very soon. If you're one of those, listen. Listen, home in on this. Let's go a bit further out. We've started with the home, and that's children and parents as well. But what about your work? How do you treat people at work or at school or at college? That's just work. Sinners. You just deal with it. No. God's like, no, do not evil to your neighbor. Do not evil to your neighbor. And then we go further out, church. And you might be like, Pastor, why don't you put church first? Church is the most important. Well, really and truly, even the most dedicated of us, we only see each other probably 3 times a week for 2 hours. Let's keep it real. So listen, anybody can love anybody for 3 times a week for 2 hours. I mean, no, that's it. I can put up with any of you. Amen. I love you all. Praise Jesus. If I had to live with some of you, how many know we would be talking a different talk, man? We'd need a little bit more Jesus, some of us, amen. This is why our impact teams, yeah, they're interesting. Even the international ones, they are the deepest. Because now, after a day, 2 days, 3 days, you're stuck with them. Waking up with them, seeing them again. But God is looking at these relationships, church. The next thing. He says, do not take up a reproach against, he doesn't take up a reproach against a friend. And this is quite interesting because what he's talking about here is that if someone was to come to you and accuse somebody, you wouldn't just jump on it straight away. That's what he's saying here, that you, if someone was to say, hey, I saw this person or this or that, you wouldn't just leap on it. Yeah, really? Hey, let's go deal with him. Let's go tell everybody. No. He says he doesn't do that. What he does is he always gives the benefit of the doubt until it's proven. What this speaks of is a man who is gracious. This speaks of if someone comes to you about someone in the church. Hey, we saw them do that. Well, let's just keep it down. We don't need to go around telling everybody yet. Let's go to the person and find out what's going on. Before we're going to give people the benefit of the doubt. We're going to give people grace. See, sometimes when you give people grace, people will accuse you of being too lenient. Why did you let it go for so long? Some of you here maybe even think, you know, I think Pastor's a bit too lenient. He's allowed things. Why hasn't he judged certain things yet? Because sometimes you got to let, you give people the benefit of the doubt. You got to give people the benefit of the doubt. This is what he says. I can't just jump on everything. Oh, they did what? Okay, let me get up and read a whole sermon about them. Any pastor that does that is a fool. Is a fool. I tried it. Yeah. When I first came here, I remember there was someone, I said, yeah, I'm going to preach my sermon. When I say first, I mean within a couple of weeks. I was the pastor. Yeah, I'm going to motivate someone to get. I was talking to Pastor Kudzi about this the other day. It wasn't him. But someone that was coming, they don't come out. I'm going to preach a whole sermon about them. And I put this whole sermon all weekend. I'm working on this sermon, illustrations. This sermon's going to be a masterpiece. And I come to church and they didn't turn up. Imagine I'm preaching the whole sermon. Yeah, and the next scripture. Yeah. God said, you fool. Can I tell you, I've never done that again. Never. So if you come to church and this message is right up your street, that's the Holy Ghost. Because that's not me. I've learned. But he doesn't take up a reproach against a friend. This is not to say he'll ignore it. No, when things are proven or when we establish certain things, we confront certain things, then we must act out justice and righteousness. But we're not quick to jump on it. We don't get any pleasure in it. And that kind of leads to the next thing. And I want to stay on this a little bit, is that the first thing that he actually said is, he who does not backbite with his tongue. That's a very interesting word, isn't it? Backbite. Think about it, backbite. To bite somebody's back. I remember Pastor Peter told about a story, that wife that bit her husband's back. But that's a random, that just came in my head. That's nothing to do with my sermon. But think about this now, the word to backbite. That's like, it's almost like you smile in their face, but when they turn around, ouch, what's happening? Backbiter. Say backbiter. The Bible says that God is not going to allow the backbiter into his presence. What does this mean in 2016? You could use the word slander. We've had little experience of that, where people have said things about people that's just not true. You're just trying to bring someone's character down, speak about them, and pull them down. Really, what really hits us is the word gossip. That's what it means. Gossip. 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 One more time. Gossip. The Bible says that if we gossip, God does not want us. Oh, I shouldn't say want us. That's not the right word. He's not going to allow us access into his presence. That place where God dwells and his presence comes down. Remember what we said, all the things that come with that. The Bible says, no. Those that gossip. God is not into gossip at all. You know, gossip is one of these things. Let's be honest. We've all done it. You don't want to admit it? I'll admit it. I've done it. You've done it as well. Listen, don't lie. That you definitely ain't going in his presence. If you lie, sitting there lying, like, really? We've all done it. Can I tell you, let's get down with this. God, there is something about our natural man, our fleshly man, that enjoys gossip. There is something about you that if you hear and you be honest, no, I've heard people, no, I hate it. Stop lying, will you? There is something about your carnal nature, something about the old man that we all wrestle with that likes to hear something juicy, something grimy about somebody else. We like that. But we hate it when we hear people gossip about us. Oh, my days. People go war mode. W-A-R. war mode. War. That's how people go. When they hear that someone's gossiped about them. Worse when you feel there was a friend. Oh, my days. Some of you lose your mind. Lose your testimony. Lose everything. But God, I think this is one of the sins of the church. Gossip. Yeah, I was just concerned about Sister So-and-so. Oh, really? Why, what's going on? Well, I heard. Concerned. Why are you telling everyone? If you're really concerned, fast. Yeah. Some of you like, some of the people, they like, I swore in church. So, what did he say? Fast. Huh? We fast for conference. We fast for the beginning of the year. If you're, I'm really concerned. Listen, before you really go to someone and say, yeah, I'm concerned, why don't you start praying for them? Fast for them. If you're really concerned, why don't you speak to a leader? Speak to the pastor. Go to the pastor and speak. Say, pastor, you know I'm concerned. And so we can be in church. I remember this story, Red Riding Hood. How many know this story, Red Riding Hood? I don't know. I haven't got, the full doctrine of the story right. But, the reality is she goes to the grandma's house, granny's house, and there's no granny there. The granny's been eaten by the wolf or something like that. So the wolf is like a transvestite because he's dressed up in granny's clothes now. Old pervert, and so he's there lying in granny's bed with the granny's dress on. That's the story. You're looking at me like something's wrong. And so that Red Riding Hood is, anyway, the whole story's mad because Red Riding Hood is like, is that really, come on, it's a wolf. How hairy was your granny, man? So think about it now, but this is the story anyway. I'm digressing. She's like, yeah, it looks like granny. But granny, your nose is big. And she's like, how sharp are your teeth? Because it's a wolf dressed up as granny. Can I tell you, sometimes that's how people are in church. They've dressed up like a sheep. But how sharp are your words? When you open your mouth, your words are like really sharp. Why? How come every time you're talking about people, it's so... It's never blessing, never encouraging, never, oh, did you see a new convert on the outreach? I was so happy. When was the last time someone has told you that? Hey, I need to call you. You know what's happening? I was reading in the scriptures and I got this revelation. But it's like, hey, did you hear about, I'm concerned about, did you know? You need to tell me, listen, I need to be in God's presence. So you need to leave me alone. Because all you talk about is, every time you come near me, you gossip. You look like a Christian, almost. But those fangs and that big nose and those claws, you're a wolf. Psalms 101:5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. This is God speaking. God actually hates gossip, church. Proverbs 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. You know what the Bible says? Is that if you're someone who talks too much, you're probably going to sin soon. Ladies like to talk a lot, you know. Let's keep it real. Brothers are looking at me like, Pastor, you're by yourself, man. This is a danger zone. Woo! Brother looked at me like, are you mad? Do you know how many ladies are in this place? Sister, listen, you better be careful. This is what it says, Proverbs 18:6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. Think about that. It says a fool is that you cause people to want to fight you. That, yeah, they just can't. No. You've caused that. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. And this is basically speaking about unwise women who have no husbands, or should I say no real husband. You know, you can have a husband, not a real husband. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to behave. All I'm saying is, let me just say the word, amen. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies. You know what a gossip and a busybody? A busybody is someone who's in other people's business. They've got no business being in their business. A busybody is someone that has no life, that's always trying to speak about someone else's life. You know what we say to you? Get a life. Saying things which they ought not. That's why I love the Bible, man. The Bible is current and up to date. It says, why are they gossiping? Because they're idle. These are people that get up at 3 in the afternoon. Then spend the next hour looking at Twitter. Next hour looking at people's WhatsApp status. Yeah? Learning. You, all of these things, and then the gossiping starts. The Bible says, listen, you will not enter the presence of God. Proverbs 20, verse 19, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. You need to draw yourself back from people that are gossips. You need to tell them. There needs to be a culture in this church. When people start to gossip about people, we say, no. Listen, stop that. That's gossip. I'm giving everybody the right. You've got a license right now. I've given you all a license. You all got a badge that you could flash. Listen, I've been licensed and I'm in the authority of Potter's House. We don't want that here. We don't want that gossip here. Now, listen, your flesh is going to say, no, listen. I've had people gossip, I've stopped them, but part of me was like, oh, dang. I wanted to hear that, man. Let me close. Those three things we've got to deal with. Our relationships with those close to us. Are we someone who is gracious, who's willing to see people through the tough times and find out what's really going on? Are we a people that will say no to gossip? The Bible says those are the people that will enter into the presence of God. And what the Bible is telling us is every interaction with people is an opportunity to show off Christ. Every interaction that we have, church, is an opportunity for us to show off Christ. And we should be showing off Christ in the church to one another. Because sometimes we all need somebody to tell us no. Somebody to convict us a little bit. Someone to stir us up a bit so that we go higher. And even in the world, when we go out there, even more so in the world, every interaction, God is looking at relationships. And what he wants to see is kindness. Because all of these things make you a kind person. And when you become kind, you become a kind of Christ in the world. And the world needs Christ, needs to see Christ 3D. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgives you. Telling us to be Christ to one another. Be like Christ. What he's done for you, go do that for others. And it goes on directly after verse 32 to the end of chapter 4 to the beginning of chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. What we need to do is we need to give others grace. See, God looks at this, and this is what creates access to God, is that even in the scriptures we see that there is a direct connection between people that are kind to people and their access to God. Remember, because of time, we know Cornelius in the book of Acts 10. Cornelius, you can read it in your own leisure. Here is this man. The Bible says that his giving, he was so liberal in helping people that his giving was like a monument, a memorial to God. That his giving, how he was helping people, God saw it. It got God's attention. That your kindness gets God's attention. The Bible speaks about Dorcas. Just before that, in Acts 9, Dorcas is this woman that's helping the widow. She's making coats for the widows. And when she dies, they hear that Peter is not far. They call Peter to come. When Peter comes to where Dorcas is, the widows are holding up the garments that she made for them. This is what she did for us. Look at this woman. And the woman, Peter prays for her, and she resurrects. She raises from the dead. He prayed for her. Again, her good deeds, her kindness, her love, how she dealt with people, how she interacted with people was the cause of supernatural revival. Now, let's look at that in the opposite. Could it be there is no supernatural revival? There is no resurrection. There is no dimension because there is a lack of kindness. There is no access into the presence of God. There is no revival and confirmation and prayer. There is no revelation in the Word because there is a lack. See, kindness is the key. It's what the Bible has shown us, and it lets us have access to God. Now, when you go to Tucson, you have to stay in a hotel, obviously, and they give you like a card. It's like a credit card, and you go in the hotel. That's your own personal one. No one else can't work in anybody else's door. And from time to time, I'll go up. I'm going to go. Just heard some mad preaching. Amen. The door won't open. So I have to go back to the foyer. So my key's not working. And so what's happening is the card has probably gone near my mobile phone. And so the mobile phone has messed with it, messed with the magnet strip, the magnetic strip. And now you've got to go all the way back to the foyer to get it redone or whatever. And I was thinking about this because this is how it is with God, is that many times we're trying to get into God's presence, get close to God, and there's no access. There's no access to God. There's something missing. And what's happened many times is to do with our interaction with others. And there are many people here that maybe there is no access, there is no kindness, because somebody has rubbed you the wrong way. See, it's easy to be kind to kind people. How many know that? You could be, I'm so kind. While you're sitting there, I don't gossip. I'm so kind. I love people. I'm this, I'm that. I'll help people. People could call me right now. I come from one end of London to the other end of London. That's fine. What about the people that have done you wrong? You gossip about them. You treat them bad. There's no love there because they've done you wrong. And just like how that card is messed up when it went with the mobile phone, someone has rubbed you the wrong way. You've gone near them, and now you've got a kink in your spirit. He's like, well, I don't care anyway. That's what is happening. But rather, this is how silly it would be, is just to say, okay, I'm going to sleep out here tonight. Listen, in 2 seconds, you die. You need the aircon, man. You need it. Some of you are like, oh, no, I'd handle it. You've never been, man. You'd need it. You would die there. When you go to Tucson, only mad people are walking in the street. Literally. People that are walking, either they're jogging or they just look. What do? You got to go back to the foyer. Some of you need to go back to God and repent. And say, you know what, this person has rubbed me the wrong way. And I realize, you know what, I've been gossiping about them. I've been speaking about them. I've been treating people bad. Maybe someone rubbed you the wrong way even when you was growing up. Some people there, you know, you look at them and you think, why are they like that? It's the way they grew up. Someone done something to them. Things have happened to them. Sometimes it's abuse. People have been abused. People have gone through things. People have been violated. People have been treated bad. And that's why, listen, no one ain't going to, this kind of, No. You're missing out. You could open the door and have access to the fullness of joy, pleasures at his right hand. You're like, God, where are you? Where are you, God? Where are you? And God is saying, listen, we need to renew that strip. We need to renew you. You need to come to me and repent and say, God, you know what? I've been wounded. I've been rubbed the wrong way. I've been violated. But God, I want to be renewed. I want to be renewed. If you will renew me, help me to forgive. Help me to move on, Father, so that I can have access with you. God will do it. Just like you go to the desk and I say, that's fine. You know something? They disappoint. That's fine, sir. I go back up. Yeah, it's a bit of aggro. Access. Access to the blessings and the grace of God. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.